Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, and again, we'll read this passage responsively. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Thank you for the man of God who loves us, who has the authority of you and the word of God, who has the privilege of preaching your word to us. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Still our hearts, focus our minds. May our attention be on the preaching of the word of God, the focal point of the purpose of church, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The sermon this morning is going to apply to us all. It's one of those where you would be better off examining yourself rather than examining others while it's being presented. I'll read to you again from Matthew chapter 7 where it says, Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. These words were spoken by Jesus while he walked here on the face of this earth. So, you know, the whole book was spoken by Jesus. Some of it was spoken while he was here on this earth. In this passage of scripture that we read from Matthew chapter 7, he said, you want to be careful going around judging people. You say, why? He said, because what you sow, you're going to reap. Then he began to talk to us about a word that we all use a lot, and I don't think we totally understand it. He talks about being a hypocrite. Being a hypocrite. He gives a little dissertation about being a hypocrite. And he said, you see, you see a little splinter in your neighbor's eye, that splinter being a representation of them doing something that doesn't seem right. You look over and you see your neighbor and they've got a little something in them that's not right. And then the Lord said, you're busy looking at your neighbor and that little splinter of wrong that's in their life, and you're so busy looking at them, you don't see that you have a beam coming out of your own eye. What's it mean by a beam? Like a tube of four. He said, you noticed that somebody had a little splinter of wrong in their life, and you were so busy looking at the little splinter of wrong in their life, you didn't notice you have a tube of four of wrong hanging out of your head. He said, if I were you, I'd take a good long look at yourself. And he said, you're being a hypocrite. Look at yourself. What did he mean? You ought to fix yourself first. Fix yourself first. He said, then once you have fixed yourself, maybe you could then with a humble, prayerful, Holy Spirit-filled life, go and help someone else very kindly. That's what he intended. That's what he was teaching. You know, God speaks of the hypocrite in the scriptures. For instance, the Bible refers to a hypocritical nation. It says in Isaiah chapter 10, verse number 6, I will send him against an hypocritical nation. What would a hypocritical nation be? Well, it might be one that knows to do right and choosing not to do right. You look at the roots of America. America says in God we trust. America doesn't trust in God much anymore. Right. You look at our roots. We know better, but we're doing things that are totally against our Constitution, and we're doing things that are totally against our roots in America. America may find herself being labeled by God a hypocritical nation. The Bible talks about a hypocritical congregation. Job chapter 15, verse 34, it says, for the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate. In other words, you have people that are taught to do right and then they choose not to do right, and you virtually get whole churches full of them. Do you realize how many so-called churches out there? They have church, they have a Bible, they have all sorts of good things in their background, but they don't live any of it. They don't live any of it. They go by the church and it's a kind of a little social movement on their part, but they're not doing what they've been told. They're a hypocritical congregation. The Bible talks about hypocritical people. We read about one earlier, and in Luke chapter 6, verse 42, it says, "Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." Folks, we should not be hypocrites. I'm going to talk to myself today. I hope that you'll let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Let me ask you a question. Do people call our church a church full of hypocrites because of you? Because of you? Well, our church is not a church full of hypocrites, just so you know. But somebody might look at you and judge the rest of our congregation on you. Let me tell you a story. There was a certain hog farmer, and he refused to have anything to do with the local New Testament church. This hog farmer, he had noticed a few people from the church, and he had pretty well decided there's just a bunch of hypocrites down there at that church. And he could name for you a couple of names. There were a couple of people that he had actually met from the church. One day, the pastor of that church that hog farmer had deemed a hypocritical congregation, one day that pastor went by the hog farmer's business. The pastor said, "Hey, you know, Mr. Farmer, I want to buy one of your hogs." Hog farmer said, "Sounds good to me. I'll sell you one of my hogs." They took a trip through this, all the stock, and looked at the entire herd of swine. And finally, the pastor said, "I see the one that I want." The pastor had picked out the scrawniest, most sickly, ugly little runt of a hog that he could find. He said, "I want to buy that one." And the farmer protested. He vigorously said, "I don't want you to buy that one. Preacher, why would you want that one? I mean, that is a scrawny, sickly, ugly little runt of a pig. You don't want that one. He's the scrawniest one I've ever seen. Look over here at some of my good hogs. Look over here at some of these prize hogs." "That's all right," said the preacher. "I want that one. I want that runt right there. I want that one." After the purchase was complete, the pastor put that little scrawny, nasty pig up in the back of his pickup truck. And he said, "Oh, by the way, Mr. Hog Farmer, I'm now going to drive all over the county with that scrawny pig in the back of my pickup truck, and I'm going to tell everybody that's the kind of hogs that you sell out here." The farmer said, "I oppose that. That would not be fair. That would not be just. That would not be the truth." The pastor said, "It seems like that's how you have judged my congregation. You found some of my scrawny runts. You found the ones that disobey, and you go around telling everybody we're a church full of hypocrites." And the old farmer said, "Well, preacher, that's the first time anybody talked sense to me in a long time." He said, "I guess you're right." He said, "You unload that runt, put him back out there. I'll get you a fine hog, and I'd like to come down and meet some of your prize Christians." He did. You know, I call the sermon today, "Don't Misjudge My Hogs." If you were at the picnic yesterday, you know why. Don't misjudge my hogs. Folks, there are some people who misjudge us. People outside the church that will look at someone that is hypocritical, and then somehow they get this idea that everybody in the church is that way. And that's not true. There are some of you in the church that behave like that. And what I mean is, you misjudge. You see somebody in our church and they mishandle themselves or they don't do what's right, and you say, "Ah, that place is just full of a bunch of hypocrites." Well, I say not. This church is not a church. It's full of a bunch of hypocrites. We have a lot of people. We have a lot of people at different levels of learning. We have a lot of people at different levels of Christianity. But we have a bulk of people in this church that are godly Christians, that are sincere, that are working very hard at serving God. Today, I want us for just a short time to look at the Bible teaching on hypocrites. Let's apply the teaching to ourselves. Hey, I say to you, you better get that bean, you better get that two before out of your own eye before you go around judging everybody else. I call the sermon, don't misjudge our pigs, don't misjudge our hogs. Let me say, first of all, what is a hypocrite? What is a hypocrite? Now stay with me. I'm going to read a passage of scripture. It's a little lengthy. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto the whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." You say, "Preacher, what in the world is being described there?" The word hypocrite, hypocrisy, it means somebody's being an actor. You know, did you know something? A hypocrite is more apt to be an older Christian than a younger. It's more apt to be somebody that knows what's right than somebody that does not know what's right. See, a hypocrite's an actor. A hypocrite has become a religious performer. A hypocrite is a poser. A hypocrite is a pretender. A hypocrite is a Christian sham artist. It's someone that is not sincere. A hypocrite is a Christian impersonator. A hypocrite is someone who is not genuine. A hypocrite is someone that's counterfeit, a faker, a masquerader. It's someone that's a fraud. A hypocrite is not someone who is sincerely trying but failing. Let me say it again. A hypocrite is not someone who is sincerely trying but failing. A hypocrite is not someone who does not know what's right. A hypocrite is somebody that's been told, they've been taught, and they are going to give the impression they're doing right, but they are not and they don't want to. Someone who knows better. Someone who is acting spiritual when they're with spiritual people. Then they act carnal when they're with carnal people. Right. Knowingly living a double life. Knowingly. Now, I don't know exactly who the hypocrites are in our midst. There are some. Are you one? Everybody say, that old church out there is full of hypocrites. Well, I'm very, very sorry. Just because somebody's seen you are runt does not mean that the rest of us are hypocrites. So, what's a hypocrite? It's an imposter, and they know that they are. They know they want to put up a front as being spiritual around some, and then they immediately drop that front when they get around others. They're playing a double lifestyle. Number two. Let's all decide not to be hypocrites. If you want to throw the word around, if you want to use the word, if you really, let's do what we do. Let's make sure that we understand the scripture. We should all decide that we don't want to be hypocrites. Wisdom tells us that we should not be hypocrites. James chapter 3, verse number 17, it says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." God said, if you understand wisdom, then you don't want to be a hypocrite. And wisdom says you ought not want to be a hypocrite. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. For some of you, I'm asking you to make a very big decision today. You say, what's a decision? Stop being a hypocrite. There are people here, you knowledgeably, you know that you live one way at church and another way away from church. And there are those who are hindered because of that. And it is hypocrisy. And it's not hypocrisy. If you sit here and you say, preacher, I can't even figure some of this out. Well, you have a simple spiritual mind and you might not be totally developed yet, but there are others that sat under the sound of my voice. You know the difference between right and wrong. You have chosen to do wrong. You come to church and give the impression you're doing right. You're on board. You're living right. You're all for God, all for the Bible, all for it. And then you walk away and go live another way. You are a hypocrite. And somebody here needs to decide you're going to stop living that way. It's a big decision. To some of you, it'd be totally life altering because you'd have to start living off the property the way you try to behave on the property. What's it talking about? Let's not be hypocrites. Let's be real. Let's be real Christians. There is virtually a teaching across our country that you go to the church and you behave one way. And then you leave the church and the way you behave is irrelevant. That's not true. We're to behave the same way everywhere we go. The same way everywhere we go. You say, is not the church a holy place? Well, just so you know, every place your foot treads is to be a holy place because it all belongs to God. We're talking about not being hypocrites. We're talking about being real. We're talking about a consistency in our Christianity. We're talking about not being fake. We're talking about coming to the church and not having to watch what we say because 6 days a week we let our mouth run. We use words and innuendos and philosophies 6 days a week and we know they're not right. Then we come to church and we got to really watch ourselves because churches, we ought to behave ourselves at church. Where'd you learn you're to behave yourself at church but not to behave yourself at home on Monday? And at work on Tuesday. Let's not be hypocrites. Let's be real. Let's be consistent. Let's not be fake. The Bible says in Job 36:13, but the hypocrites in heart heap up wrath. The Bible says that they're a hypocrite in heart. Let me ask you, are you not real in your heart? God warns you are heaping up wrath. God's wrath will come upon the hypocrite. Folks, let your main concern regarding the hypocrite be that you're not one. One of the worst things that can happen during a sermon like this is I'm preaching about hypocrites and you're saying, well, I know one. Well, I wish that we'd take care of old so-and-so. This sermon's for you. So you want me to take it personally? Well, most preachers don't want you to take it personally, but I want every one of you to take it personal. Don't be a hypocrite. You! You say, I don't want my wife to be a hypocrite. How about you, sir? Well, I don't want my husband to be a hypocrite. How about you? You say, well, I know some leader down at the church. I think they're a hypocrite. How about you? Right now, you better take care of the two before that's sticking out of your head. And you let the Lord take care of everybody else's little splinter of inconsistency. And how about you become real 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and get off this junk of part-time Christianity? There's some of you, you used to be real. Now you're living a double life. Some of you need to get right with God. Some of you never have been real. You've always thought the church was a little bit of a game and you go down on Sunday and kind of play around a little bit with spirituality and go out and do what you want the rest of the time. God says you're building up wrath that's coming your way in your life. It's what he said in Job chapter 36, verse 13. Before long, when all that wrath cuts loose, you'll probably just get worse because you're hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and you're just going to get mad at God. I'm mad at God. You're a hypocrite. You have been. And what's going to happen is when the wrath of God comes down, you're just going to get madder at God. That's what they usually do. What is a hypocrite? It's an actor, a performer, one that puts on when they're around spiritual people. And then when there are others that are not spiritual, they can become a chameleon immediately. Let's not be hypocrites. That's the decision today. Number three, let me give you some warnings that the scripture gives all of us about this thing of hypocrites. The Bible says this. The Bible says a hypocrite's hope will perish. A hypocrite's hope will perish. Listen to this verse. Job chapter 8 verse 13 says, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. You find yourself a bit spiritually hopeless? Are you a hypocrite? I'm not saying all hopelessness is a result of hypocrisy, but I am telling you, the Bible does say one of the results or one of the some of the fallout of hypocrisy is a hopelessness. A hypocrite's hope shall perish. Hypocrites become hopeless. Hope is what keeps you encouraged. You know, when someone is half-hearted, they are stealing hope from themselves. You know, listen to this. You want me to tell you what Christians in this building right now have the most hope about their Christianity and the most hope about their church and the most hope about doing something great for God? The ones that have thrown their heart all the way into the things of God. They're not half and half. I'm half with it, half not with it. Live right a little, live wrong a little. You are stealing from yourself hope. The people that have the greatest hope among God's people are the ones that have thrown themselves in. They're not half-hearted. They're not putting up a facade. They're not fake. They're real. And they say, wow, I think I've got something going here big for God. Some of you that are hopeless about your spiritual future, you might want to ask yourself, am I a hypocrite? Some of you are reducing your successfulness because of your hypocrisy. Listen, so are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. There's a lack of success when you're half-hearted, when you're half in, half out, half in, half out, half in, half out. You get around people that are just saying, I'm going to serve God and I'm winning souls and I'm going to live right. And wasn't that great? What happened down at the church? Those people, they're excited. They're going to do something. They're going somewhere. They have great hope. But when you come down to the church and you taste the goodness of God a little bit, then you get away from here and you get on the internet, you do your thing and you get away from God. You're half-hearted at everything you do. And so you do not have a great hope about your spiritual future because there is an element of hypocrisy that is limiting you. That's a warning to hypocrites. Let me say this also. A hypocrite's joy is minimal. A hypocrite's joy is minimal. Listen to this. Job chapter 20, verse number 5, it says that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment. God is saying it. Oh, you're a hypocrite. You may have a little joy, but it's only for a moment. You come down to the church and on Sunday, you'll stand around and kind of act spiritual and talk a little bit spiritual. And for a little while, you kind of feel good about that. But then Monday rolls around and at work, you're back to telling the dirty jokes and acting like an animal and checking all the women out at work that you're not married to. And you're back on the internet doing all your filthy, bad talk on the internet. And you might enjoy that for a little while. And if you stumble back into the church on Sunday, you might find a little joy there. But you do not have consistent joy. Your life is not full of joy because the Bible says the hypocrite's joy is short-lived. They live a double life and you cannot receive full joy from half-full Christianity. The happiest Christians I know are the ones that get in lock, stock, and barrel. No holds barred. I love God. I love the Bible. I love the New Testament church. I want to do right at any cost, no matter what it costs me. I'll separate from the world. I'll jump in, go full blast for God. There you'll find full joy. You say, I'm not a happy Christian. I'm not telling you the lack of happiness is 100% the result of hypocrisy, but I will tell you this. The Bible says, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. They're not truly happy. They're not truly happy in the world. They're not truly happy in the church. They really, you can fake your happiness. You can walk around with you got to acclimate yourself. You wake up Sunday morning, you kind of don't even want to go to church and do what you ought to do. And finally, you can force yourself to be happy at church for a little while. And then you leave and you were just about enjoying it a little bit. And then you leave and you get back out in the world with all your worldly friends and your worldly music and all of that. And then you got to kind of readjust because you were kind of spiritual on Sunday for a little while. Well, you know, you're never going to have joy. You're never going to have it. You're teeter-tottering between one life and another life and one life and another life. Let me tell you all something. The happiest day in my life is when I said, I choose Jesus. I'm going all the way. I'm not holding back anything. I'm jumping in. I became a very happy Christian. Very happy. Am I burdenless? No. But even through my burdens, there's a certain joy in knowing I'm in. Everything that's happening to me is happening to me in the will of God. You see, let me say to all of us, to me, to you, watch out, hypocrite. Watch out, because a hypocrite, they destroy their own hope. Watch out, hypocrite. We destroy our own joy because we're half and half and you never get full joy. Then the Bible teaches that a hypocrite's leadership is usually short-lived and can be terrible, terrible, terribly damaging leadership. Listen to this. Job 34:30, it says that the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. God's talking about you get a hypocrite in leadership and that becomes a snare to the people. I think it becomes a snare to other leaders. I think it becomes a snare to the followers. Hypocrites can be very destructive leaders. Hypocritical leaders in that where it's talking about being a snare. In other words, you trap people's emotions and you trap people's perceptions of the church and pure Christianity and pure Christian leadership. Listen to this. There's some of you that are parents and you and your hypocrisy in your home, you have become a snare to your own children. Your kids are trapped. They come to church and hear the Sunday school teacher teach. They come to church and hear the preacher preach. They come to church and hear the guest evangelist or the guest missionary. They're hearing all this taught. And then you go home and live a different way. And your kids are just trapped. They're saying, oh my, I know what I'm supposed to do, but at home we're doing this. And oh my, I heard this on a CD, the preaching, but then my mom's doing this or my dad's doing that. And none of it's matching up. And you want to know why the kids feel the way they feel. Hypocrites are a snare to their followers. The best things in the world you'll do is mom and dad live right at home. Do the right thing. Matter of fact, there's even some of you used to tell your kids they ought to be in church at night church, but you don't tell them that anymore. They're mixed up. Hypocrite's leadership is short-lived. You trap people with your hypocrisy. Young Christians, the lost. Hey, you become a snare or a trap. Even to the people that are looking for an excuse. You know, there are people watching you so that they can use your hypocrisy as an excuse. Right. You are their justification. And so, because we use the word hypocrite, most people don't even understand what it means. I want you to understand it. Let's not be hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? I think it's somebody that knows better that chooses not to do right, but they want to give everybody an impression that they are doing right. They put up a front. And that's not usually your younger Christians. You know, folks, there are some young Christians in here that some of you would say, look at them. They're a hypocrite. No, they're not. They're a young Christian that they don't know any better. You're the hypocrite. You know better. You've been taught better. You used to live it. You used to believe it. You used to preach it. You used to teach it. You used to say amen during it. Now you're not. You have become a hypocrite. It's not that young Christian. The hypocrite at the picnic yesterday was not the young Christian that didn't know any better. It was the ones that knew better that chose not to do it in rebellion against the standard. God gives us warnings about hypocrites. They won't have hope. They won't have joy. Their leadership is a snare and hurtful. The Bible teaches that hypocrites hurt people. They're people hurters. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:9, and a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. You hurt your children. You hurt your grandchildren. You hurt your actual neighbor. Any of you know that your neighbors, most of your neighbors, if you've come to this church any time at all, your neighbors that live right next door to you, they know where you go to church. They watch every move that you make and they don't come to our church because of you, because they know what's right and they know you choose not to do right. You hurt the lost. You hurt the baby Christian. Be careful now. There's some warnings God gives about the hypocrite. He says their hope will perish. Their joy is minimal. Their leadership is short and confusing. If you hang around them, they're destructive to people. You know that hypocrites even contaminate the thing of prayer. Bible says in Matthew 6:5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. Hypocrites actually get it into this thing of prayer. We could call you to the platform and you would pray, oh, dear God, help everybody to be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Oh, dear God, move in a powerful way that sinners would get right. And you got a bottle of liquor at home and you're not right and you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, but you'll get up there and pray and make everybody think that's what you are. I'm spiritual. That's called hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Bless our church. Use us today, we pray. Are you being used for or against the cause of Christ? Good. Hypocrisy will even come out in our prayers, the Bible says. People try to be all fancy and impress people with their prayers. They'll pray things that they wouldn't even live themselves. That's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. The Bible says it even goes as far to say that hypocrites will fast for the wrong reasons. You say, what's fasting? That's when you give up food so you have a time of prayer and a time to get close to God. The Bible says in Matthew 6:16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. It said hypocrites fast to be seen. They fast so people will talk about them fasting. They fast and they want everybody to know they're fasting because they want to seem as if they're sacrificial. I want you to think I'm sacrificial. So I want you to think that I'm a prayer warrior and I want you to think that I'm fasting. I want you to think that I am sacrificial. I'm trying to make myself look spiritual. Folks, don't try to look spiritual. Be spiritual. Drop the facade. So I'm trying to fake all of us out. Get real. Be consistent in your Christian life. So, I'll tell you this, and I mean this. Point number four, I think we ought to defend our church when folks try to make us as if we're a bunch of hypocrites. Yes. Bible says in 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Folks, this church is not full of a bunch of hypocrites. Right. Just because you met a couple of our runts, and just because you happened to stumble across some rebels, and just because somebody in the church did make a mistake and did wrong, that does not make the church full of hypocrites. I believe this church is full of sincere, godly Christians that are trying very hard. There are many godly, sincere Christians in this church. Hey, and I'm very proud of you. There is a big batch of brand new Christians in this church that are growing. They're growing. And some of you need to be careful because you look at the new growing Christians and you think there's something wrong with them. It's you there's something wrong with. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. You do know the difference between right and wrong and have chosen not to do it. I'm going to be patient with the ones that are just now learning. It's the ones that know and they've heard and they said, I ain't no way. Oh, they'll give you the impression. If somebody criticizes your church and say, yeah, you're just full of a bunch of hypocrites out there. Well, first of all, they probably don't know what that means, but maybe you ought to tell them the story about the pig farmer. Our people are sincere. Those of you that are fake, get right with God. You know, you'll find this out. I defend the fallen who were deceived. The devil's pretty deceptive. But you know, it's very hard to defend someone who's not deceived, that goes into it eyes wide open and says, no way. I'm not going to live for God that way. Now, let me make a statement that I think you ought to hear. I think everybody's guilty of some hypocrisy. I think everybody is. I think all of us are trying hard, and I don't think we all succeed like we want. So I think everybody here, including myself, I think there's a bit of a hypocrisy in us all. But let me tell you this, it should not be abundant. It should not be consistent. Let this sermon push the reset button for some of us. I think any hypocrisy that is in our lives, it ought to be short-lived. Don't let it become your norm. There is a battle that you and I go through between the flesh and the spirit. There's a certain amount of hypocrisy that ends up in life. But I'm just going to tell you, folks, don't let it become the way you are. Don't become a hypocrite. I mean, if you've got moments of hypocrisy in your life, all right, I'm not approving it. I'm telling you, I think it's there for all Christians. But I am telling you, we should not live there. We should not be satisfied there. You should not be to the point now where you have a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. You ought to be under conviction about your hypocrisy, not defending it. But everybody's guilty of some. So what is a hypocrite? Well, it's not someone who is sincerely trying hard, but sincerely failing. A hypocrite's more apt to be the older Christian than the younger, and somebody that knows right from wrong, and they're choosing not to do right than putting up a front that they're living right. The Bible tells us that wisdom tells us not to be hypocritical. And then the Bible warns us about the results or the fallout of hypocrisy. God tells us that we're destroying our own hope. God tells us we won't be happy Christians. God tells us our leadership is tainted and destructive, and we hurt the people around us, and that we can even contaminate prayer and go as deeply as contamination of that holy thing of fasting because we want to give the impression that we're sacrificing for Christ when we're not at all. We're not supposed to try to look spiritual. Did you all know that? You're not to try to look spiritual. You're to be spiritual. And if you are spiritual, you will look that way. I say, let's defend our church when people say, oh, a bunch of hypocrites. I think we ought to tell them there's some runts out there, but not everybody's that way. Tell them the story of the pig farmer, and everybody's guilty of a little hypocrisy. Now, let me tell you this. Hypocrisy is a destroyer. It's a destroyer. Proverbs 11:9 says, and a hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. What happens is when we know the difference between right and wrong, and we choose to do wrong, and then we put up a front, so we're living wrong, we know that we are. Look, if you're backslidden right now, and you know that you are, and you come to church and try to fake your way through it, that's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. Here's what happens, though. You destroy people's opinion of the truth. You'll destroy somebody's opinion of the truth. They look at you and think that all Christians are that way, and they're not. They think that truth is tainted. Truth is not tainted. Christians are tainted. He says you'll destroy your neighbor. If your neighbor's lost, they may never come to Christ. Hypocrisy can destroy your neighbor. It can hurt your church. It hurts your neighbor. It hurts the people around you. I think it hurts prospects for Christ. Hypocrites, and so you know, hypocrites are reproducers. They reproduce themselves. They influence people. If you run with someone, now listen, if you're around somebody and they fall and they're having a hard time and they stumble, but you know they're sincere and they're trying really hard and you just sense it about them, that's one thing. It's another thing when you're running with someone and you know they're a hypocrite. You just flat out know you are not going to change them. They are going to change you. Hypocrites reproduce hypocrites. I could take you to family after family and show you through the years. I can show you parents that came to church, put up a front, went home, lived a different way, and then their kids became exactly what they were. Then their kids thought, well, what you do is you go down to the church, you act one way, you go home, you act another way. Hypocrisy. And you pass it down from generation to generation. They just get the idea. Be good on the church property. Be good if the preacher's ever around. Did you know Jesus is around everywhere you go?
Yes, sir.
Right. Everywhere you go.
Yes, sir.
Hypocritical parents reproduce hypocritical children. Hypocritical leaders reproduce hypocritical followers. Hypocritical churches reproduce hypocritical hypocritical congregations. I don't want a church full of hypocrites. I want people to do what's right. And remember now, you say, well, I know somebody that needs this. You miss the whole thing. It was for you. You take care of you. You let God and the Bible and the truth of the Bible take care of everybody else. There's some of you are so quick to know who the hypocrite is. Maybe you need to give yourself a good, long, spiritual x-ray. See what's going on in your life that ought not be there. The Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. God's telling us, take care of yourself first. Be careful that you are not a hypocrite. It's easy. Let's just be real Christians. There's somebody here that could develop the attitude, all right, I'm not going to do what the Bible says, and I'm just going to let it be seen. You're heading the wrong direction. The sermon's purpose was not to justify your misbehavior. The sermon's purpose ought to bring you under conviction out over the wrong that you're doing and say, I'm going to straighten up the wrong. Not submit to it. Can you see someone saying, okay, I won't be a hypocrite. I'll just let it be known where what I'm going to do wrong. That wasn't the intent. You may be further gone than what you think. I call the sermon, don't misjudge our pigs. Don't misjudge our pigs. Are you saved today? If you're not saved, you ought to get born again. It's one of the things that will help you most. You'll probably feel like if you're unsaved, if you hear enough preaching, you're going to feel like a hypocrite all the time. Because what you really need is an old-fashioned dose of salvation to help clean you up and get you on the right path. Unsaved people, they're not going to live right. You get saved, God will help you live right. Now, you don't live right to get saved. You live right because you are saved. God does all the saving. You just do all the letting for salvation. But those of you say, I'm not saved, and this sermon really bothers me. Probably the thing you need to do is just go ahead and get saved. It'll help you to understand the sermon better. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I wish you'd trust Christ. Answer this question. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? If you say, I'm not sure of that, then you need to get born again. You don't get saved by giving money to the church. You don't get saved by joining the church. You don't get saved by getting baptized. You don't get saved by doing good works. You don't get saved by doing good deeds. You don't get saved by turning over a new leaf. You get saved by realizing that everyone's a sinner. That there is a penalty for that sin. It is death and hell separated from God for all eternity. You get saved by realizing that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half sinless years. He died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. While he paved the way and paid your ticket to heaven in full. And all you have to do is realize, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're a sinner. You deserve to go to hell. Jesus died for you so you could go to heaven. You must receive the free gift of salvation to go to heaven. That's how you get to heaven. No other way. That's not the Baptist way. It's not the Catholic way. It's not the Presbyterian way or the Pentecostal way. That's a Bible way. And if you've never been saved, you need to get born again. That'll help you with hypocrisy. Because if you right now are unsaved and you feel like a hypocrite, you need to get saved. That'll help some of that. Who here would say, preacher, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure if I died today, I'm saved. Pray for me. I think I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I need. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I see that hand. Someone else, you say, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I'm not going to lie in church. I'm not going to lie to myself. I see that hand. God bless you. In the balcony, raise your hand, say, pray for me. Don't know that I'm saved. I need to be born again. Here in a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. What that means is the instrumentalists will begin to play. We'll all stand. The choir will sing. If you're not saved, we want you to leave your seat, walk toward the front. There'll be others coming. You won't come alone. The men that are sitting on this platform will be joined by others that will post themselves on the lower floor down front at the end of each aisle. You leave your seat. You walk up to one of the men. You say, I want to be born again. And someone that knows how to win someone to Jesus, you can leave this place on your way to heaven. Someone will take the Bible and show you how to be born again. It'll help you with this, even the confusion about hypocrisy. If you're not saved, the thing you need is Jesus. In a moment, we'll have that thing called the altar call, and those of you that need to be saved may come. Here's the question. Is there a Christian under the sound of my voice today? You're born again. You're saved already. But you'd say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart today about the issue of hypocrisy. And you'll raise your hand to God and let God see it. And you'll say, God, He's spoken to my heart today. spoken to me about being a hypocrite. And I'm not trying to be that personal with you. I'll let God be that personal with you. There's some of you, you need to use the altar today. You need to stop facading. You need to stop acting and do what's right. Use this altar today. Who here would say, Brother Owens, I've got a burden today that's exceptional. I need God to help me with it. Would you raise your hand? God sees those hands. You may put your hands down. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time.